We have heard that 500,000 children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And you know, is the price worth it?
I think this is a very hard choice, but the price, we think the price is worth it.
So, President Zelensky's authoritarian regime has outright rejected the latest U.S. peace proposal, which demands territorial concessions to Russia, dooming the war to drag on indefinitely and sacrificing countless more Ukrainian lives in his desperate bid to cling to power. With Ukraine's military crumbling under relentless Russian advances and foreign aid dwindling, Kiev's bargaining position is non-existent. Yet Zelensky stubbornly refuses any compromises that would expose his corrupt-ridden regime. Seemingly, his dictatorial intransigence prioritizes his political survival over the nation's desperate need for peace, prolonging a futile conflict that has already devastated Ukraine's people and its economy. In my last video, I outlined the collapse in manpower of the Ukrainian army, but the insistence on Western European leaders to keep the war going via the possibility of conscripting its own people, and how that would not work out well for the hapless leaders of the dysfunctional and regressing West. Now, before we examine how the collapsing demographics of the Ukraine mirror that of Western Europe, some very easily available but crucial historical information is needed when discussing the fiasco that is the current situation in the Ukraine. Before one does, it's very important for one to demonstrate even an inkling of awareness or knowledge of Ukraine's border revisions, especially during the Soviet era, and why Russia is asserting territorial claims against the modern Ukraine because of these revisions. While the propaganda that spews from Western governments, media, and social media pundits is that Vladimir Putin is a madman, Putler, bent on conquest and the need to satiate his imperialistic lust with the unprovoked invasion of Ukraine, and that he not only wants all of Ukraine, but when he's finished there, he will invade Western Europe. So let's quickly unpack this. Keeping NATO, meaning the United States, away from Russia's border is at the core of this conflict, full stop. When the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, there was an understanding that NATO would not move one inch eastward. But of course, the U.S. soon decided otherwise. In 1994, Clinton, that being President Clinton, formally approved NATO's expansion all the way to Ukraine and Georgia. The first wave came in 1999 with Hungary, Poland, and the Czech Republic. Obviously, Russia objected, but those countries were still some distance away. Then in 2004 came the Baltic states, Romania, Bulgaria, Slovenia, and Slovakia. And this obviously made Russia very angry. In 2008, the United States forced through NATO membership promises for Ukraine and Georgia right on Russia's doorstep. Russia pointed out that if it ever put bases in Mexico or on the Canadian border, the United States would go to war in 10 minutes. Well, sure enough, a month later, the Georgian War broke out and Georgia was wrecked. From 2010 onward, the United States started deploying Aegis missile systems in Poland and Romania, something obviously Russia was strongly opposed to. That same year, Viktor Yanukovych was elected in the Ukraine on a clear neutrality platform. Russia had zero territorial ambitions in the Ukraine at this time. All it wanted was a 25-year renewal of its lease on the Sevastopol naval base. Nothing about Crimea, nothing about Donbass. Then in 2014, the United States actively helped overthrow Yanukovych in a color revolution coup. Leaked phone calls between Victoria Nuland and the then U.S. ambassador are nothing short of damning, with Nuland openly picking who should run the new government, famously adding, F the EU. After that came the Minsk agreements, especially Minsk II, which required autonomy for the Russian-speaking regions in eastern Ukraine and was unanimously endorsed by the UN Security Council. The United States and Ukraine, however, simply refused to implement it. Thousands died from Ukrainian shelling in the Donbass way before the Russian invasion in 2022. By late 2021, early 2022, one of the core issues was whether the United States claimed the right to station missiles in the Ukraine. Blinken told Lavrov in January 2022 that yes, America reserves the right to put missiles anywhere it wants. And that's when the war started. Putin's aim was to force Zelensky to accept neutrality. Within the first 7 days of the invasion, Ukraine was ready to sign that exact deal. And then the Ukraine walked away because the United States and the United Kingdom encouraged it to keep fighting. The broader American plan was to use Ukraine, Romania, Bulgaria, Turkey, and Georgia to bottle up Russia's access to the Black Sea and strip it of its great power status. U.S. senators openly bragged that this was a fantastic use of money because no American soldiers were dying. It's a pure proxy war, if there ever was one. And since Washington pulled Ukraine away from the negotiation table, roughly 1 million Ukrainians have been killed or severely wounded. Thus, anyone on social media, the legacy media, or what have you, that have their Ukrainian flags in their bios, or calling Russians orcs, or that this invasion was totally unprovoked, is historically illiterate. Also, any of those that are cheering on this war to go on any longer are only cheering for more death on both sides. However, the situation in Ukraine is grim. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Ukraine's population has declined by roughly 10 million people since Russia's full-scale invasion in 2022, dropping from about 42 million to around 32 million in government-controlled territories, driven by hundreds of thousands of war deaths, the exodus of over 6 million refugees, and a collapse in birth rates to among the world's lowest at 0.7 children per woman. To offset wartime losses and a looming labor shortage of 8.2 million workers, Ukrainian employment experts are pushing for massive labor migration, of course, from the Middle East, North Africa, and Asia. Now consider this. Ukraine is being emptied out, and the current masses of soldiers that are dying at the demand of the Zelensky regime are doing so not to protect the Ukraine they know, not their homeland, but to give their lives for a new Ukraine now being envisioned, one modeled on the Western model of demographically transformative migration that will somehow pave the way to a future multicultural utopia. However, when reviewing this almost sacrosanct, holy vision of a new Europe, of a new Ukraine, a new U.S. National Security Strategy document concludes Europe faces civilizational erasure due to a collective spiritual death, mass migration, cratering birth rates, and an overall lack of self-confidence. The document concludes Europe will be unrecognizable 20 years from now, and that European countries will no longer be able to defend themselves or be reliable allies to the United States. Western governments have now, for decades, forced cultural relativism, Marxism, multiculturalism via mass immigration, hyper-individualism, feminism, and commercialism on their population without their consent. And this poisoned chalice has left nations bankrupt, politically polarized, nihilistic, and ones that cannot even reproduce themselves. And now, faced with this endgame, they think it wise that it all goes off in an escalation of a lost proxy war. Western Europe is staring down what the Trump administration calls civilizational erasure. While feminized European societies wither on the vine, the patriarchal cultural communities arriving to replace them have no such qualms. And given that, can you really blame them? for not wanting to so-called integrate or embrace Western values or ideologies. They know these values are weak and are a weakness to civilizations, and they can see that the natives are losing, and they just have to sit back and wait. To the victors go the spoils. So what do you think? Leave me your thoughts in the comment section below. And as always, thanks very much for watching. If you like the video, leave a thumbs up on your way out. Also, remember to check to see that you're still subscribed, as YouTube has unsubscribed tens of thousands of people. And with that, I'll see you in the next video. Bye for now.